Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. I'm your Alaska Live host. I'm Lori Neufeld, Torque Percussion Quartet. It's so good to have you as guests here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And you already have a lot of percussion instruments loaded into the KUAC studios. What are we going to hear first?
Well, we're going to start things off with a hand percussion quartet, some darbuka, kashishi, rick, and cajon. This is a piece by Nova Scotian composer Ken Shorley called The Bright Side.
All right. Yeah, Torque Percussion here on KUAC's Alaska Live. Wow, when we say live music and conversation in the KUAC studios for Alaska Live, I think you combined the music and the conversation right there.
Yeah.
It was like you were having a discussion between all of you.
Yeah, that's a real point of what we try and do whenever we're performing. It's a communication.
Yeah. And you don't even really have to be looking at each other. You know, there's some things in your way sometimes, maybe on stages or performance venues. But you've been doing this for a decade now together, right?
Yeah, we just celebrated our 10th birthday back in November. So it's pretty cool getting to travel all over the place and hit stuff for people.
Well, would you introduce the group, please?
Absolutely. So there's four members of the group. My name's Adam Campbell. There's also Richard Burrows, Jamie Drake, and Daniel Morphy. And we're all based in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Well, welcome to Fairbanks, Alaska. It's great to have you here. It seems like drums bring a warmth to a place.
Yeah, it seems that way. Actually, when we told everyone we were going to tour in Alaska in February, they thought we were nuts. And now that we've arrived, we're down in Anchorage, Homer here. It's actually warmer here than it is back home in Toronto. So we lucked out.
Thanks for bringing that with you. That's really nice of you. What was that last piece? Sounded like it was written in the style of maybe an African drumming style, or I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it actually. It was written by Ken Shorley, a Nova Scotian composer, and he's really big into a bunch of world traditions of hand drumming. And so that drew heavily on some Arabic drumming. And the drum I was playing, Darbuka, actually you learn to play it by speaking the sounds you want to make. So you can speak all the drum patterns you could play.
The talking drum.
Yeah. And so the whole piece kind of has that rhythmic language, which really probably helps make it sound like the conversation you heard.
Yeah. Torque Percussion is here at KUAC's Alaska Live, and they are on the Herring Auditorium stage tomorrow night as part of the Fairbanks Concert Association concert series, and that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And do you have a different, do you make different set lists for different venues?
Yeah, every show that we do, we try and cater to that event. Yeah. One of the reasons that we do what we do is because the world of percussion ensemble music is so wide and vast and varied in the instrumentation and the styles. And so we like to, as much as possible, and in a 90-minute show, we really get to go wild with the variety of music that we can play. So sometimes that's small hand percussion instruments, like you just heard. Sometimes it's big, beautiful, expensive mallet instruments and drums and cymbals. Sometimes it's teacups and flower pots, and sometimes it's duck and moose calls that you picked up at Cabela's while you're in Anchorage.
Well, can we expect some or all of that tomorrow night at Herring?
I think you can expect a little bit of all of that, for sure. Nice. Sometimes we don't even know. We like to improvise a lot as well. It's a big part of what we do. We just released a double album of all improvised music called Without a Map. And actually, if you're interested, the next piece we'd like to share with you is one of those improvisations for the four of us on a shared vibraphone. We're going to be using some bows as well as some mallets. And
all four of you on one vibraphone?
All four of us on one vibraphone.
Because I only see one in here. For listeners, they only have one
vibraphone.
We wanted
to bring four, but we thought it might be a little cramped.
Yeah.
No, this piece is, when we recorded the album, our only limitation for each track was the instrumentation we'd use. So we wanted to do one where we were all sharing one vibraphone, and it's worked out really well for touring. So we play this on the solo vibraphone, and call it Homesick. It's kind of got this reminiscent feeling. It's a bit of a misnomer on this tour because we definitely don't want to go home. We're so happy being here.
You probably feel right at home here in Alaska, being from Canada.
Yeah, totally. But even though we play it on the same instrument and give it the same title every time we perform it, it can be drastically different, even from the version that's on the album. And that's because it's improvised. So whatever happens each time is sort of, you get to hear it once and that's it.
Well, we're excited to hear that here on KUAC's airwaves.
Yeah, all right. Well, here we go. Homesick.
This is Torque Percussion Quartet here on Alaska Live on KUAC. They're grabbing mallets and bows for the one vibraphone. Thank you. So cool. All four of you at times were playing, it seemed like, with mallets and bows, one in your left hand and one in your right hand. And is that difficult to figure out with, you know, your left hand is having to steadily bow a key on the vibraphone and then you're having to hit mallets?
Well, I would say no. Part of learning percussion is about facilitation of the instrument. It's about exploration of sound. And so we learned from a very young age to be relatively ambidextrous, actually being able to lead with your right, being able to lead with your left. You know, we sort of joke that anybody who's left-handed already has the upper hand on most percussionists because so much of the music tends to be dominated by the right hand. But as you sort of progress within music, through academics, actually, in fact, all of us on stage have many degrees in percussion performance. So we've spent at a very minimum 6 years of post-secondary studying classical percussion.
I noticed that in your bios. None of them said, this is what I play in torque percussion. All of your bios had, you know, I've had this experience. I'm artist in residence here. I'm a studio musician here. And you have this varying, you know, residencies, and you all are very involved in things other than just your Torque Percussion Quartet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what makes Torque very special, is because we are able to combine all of these various backgrounds into one form. So as an example, Jamie's very interested in musicals. Dan and Adam actually play in a gamelan group in Toronto. I do a lot of orchestral stuff on the side, and as well as educational things on the
gamelan
side.
Gamelan group? What is that?
Yeah, so in Toronto, so gamelan is a style of music. It's an instrument group that is from Indonesia, from Bali, from Java. Cool. And so it's primarily percussion instruments that are made out of metals. And there are some drums that accompany it. So in Toronto, they have a contemporary gamelan ensemble, and both Adam and Dan are part of that. So, I mean, these are all different flavors of musics that get brought together and you know, not only influence us, but certainly keep us performing.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things as a percussion ensemble, you know, this is our job. This is what we do for a living. We are performers. And so when we're not on the road, if we're not touring, if we're not doing school shows in the Toronto region, we basically fill up that time with other performances, opportunities. And it keeps things fresh. It keeps us, you know, we spend a lot of time with each other on the road. So it allows us to be able to explore different, you know, avenues of musical expression.
When you're checking your luggage at the airport, do they ever hassle you about some of the things you have?
As a matter of fact, yes, this Alaskan tour has brought in some interesting road stories. So when sort of developing this tour, we had to, you know, go into a pretty serious logistics meeting of understanding what it is that is available for us in Alaska to be able to play on and find out exactly how much gear we can take on the road with a balance of, you know, being able to perform a 90-minute show and also not, you know, breaking the bank on shipping costs. So when we pack our luggage, we have a scale that we measure our weight on. And so when our very first day of going to from the flight from Toronto to Anchorage, I have this luggage scale, and it happened to be on the wrong setting. So it wasn't pounds. It was a weird unit that was giving us something similar to pounds. So we made sure everything was under 50 pounds. And then when we got to the airport, everything was 55 pounds and above. And so we ended up getting dinged for $175 in overage, which then made us go to the local Target in Anchorage and find another bag so that we could offset that weight into the luggage. So it's a very interesting thing, you know, and going through security, there's always times where the security guy, you know, is very puzzled by why we're trying to bring this stuff on the plane. Mm-hmm. In particular, sometimes we tour with pipes and we have these gongkogis, which are metal cowbells. Even the sticks alone, the sticks are always, you know, you see in the X-ray machine, just these clear sort of haze of bundles of sticks with these balls at the end of them. And you just, people are like,
looking
what is
dangerous.
This? What is this? Yeah, yeah. And in fact, sometimes brushes for a snare, uh-huh. for a snare brush, we've been actually going through security once where they said, oh, they've got a knife. And it's, No, these are brushes, and you have to take them out and play for you.
I was going to say, you probably do some impromptu performance there in the airport security line.
Yeah, and then often they ask us if we're famous, and will we sign a CD for them? You know, it's it's a very interesting thing when they're, you know, they're about to punish you, and then they realize, oh, these guys are cool.
Well, I'm glad that you got everything here, even if it costs you a little extra. We've all... Living in Alaska, we get very good at figuring out how to either ship things or take them, you know, on the plane. And it's quite the dance we do.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're very thankful. We're flying Alaska Airlines for the remainder of our tour. And in fact, they don't have luggage fees for us, which is fantastic. Nice. So we're able to take our 9 checked bags and 8 carry-on bags.
You're honorary Alaskans for us. Very good. Part of the 49er Club.
Yeah, yes.
You just came from West Valley just before Alaska Live, and you were doing some school workshops there. That's something you do a lot of places you go as Torque Percussion, right?
We do. We are big advocates for music education. Not only is it important, you know, for the schools for us to get in there and maintain this importance and keeping the awareness of music education alive. I mean, we all came from this system. We were students that started playing percussion in concert band in grade 7 and 8. And, you know, there's a real, we feel it's very important for the world to keep this idea of music education important in the schools. Obviously, we're dealing with a lot of financial cuts across the board. And the first thing that a lot of the school boards go to are the liberal arts to be cut. And, you know, for us, this is a very important agenda for us to continue to make you know, students aware of some of the different things that are out there. You know, it's amazing to see the faces of students when we walk in and play, you know, everything from children's toys that we are going to perform next, you know, the faces when we bow a vibraphone, you know, they're just so mesmerized by these sounds. And, you know, often in the classroom, they tend to follow a very strict guideline of concert band and jazz band and choir. So they it's not that it's limited, but they, you know, they have a very set agenda, a curriculum that they have to follow. So what we're able to do is go into the classroom and really break out of that curriculum and start to work on things that students haven't been exposed to before, because, you know, we're specialists in our craft. And so we're able to give that information to these students and watch them shine. And in fact, today we had them playing these children's toys in an improvisation setting. So they were just mesmerized by it.
I bet there was no sleeping after lunch for that crew.
Yeah, they're very excited to play.
Well, let's hear these children's instruments played by Torque Percussion here on Alaska Live.
Absolutely. So this is, again, in keeping with our theme of being able to travel lightly, we are able to bring with us on the road a number of children's toys that are like waiter bell styles. There's also, you can try it. And then we also have they're like a individual metallophone. So it's basically an aluminum bar over top of a pipe that allows it to resonate. And they sound like this. So what we're going to do for you right now is another improvisation that's actually from our third disc again. This is a piece called View from the Island. In Toronto, it's a landscape of concrete. And but there's this beautiful island about a mile offshore that you can go there. And no vehicles are allowed on this island. So there's an amusement park and there's beaches. And so you can just walk around. But at nighttime, you get to look back on Toronto and just see the sparkling of lights from the condos and office buildings and the CN Tower, which is this extremely tall building that actually lights up and is very colorful at night. So we're going to play for you View from the Island.
Torque Percussion Quartet on Alaska Live, playing on children's instruments. How cool is that? And they're brightly colored, too. I have to describe that for the listening audience. It's just delightful to see and hear. It's pretty complex music, actually, done on.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's fun for us because these are things that are sold, as you said, they're brightly colored, and each sort of different color is a different note, and they're designed to sort of teach toddlers about here's what a major scale is. But the first time we heard them, they just sounded so beautiful. We thought, oh, you know, why not use them?
Do you remember as a kid, like kind of tapping on a lot of things?
Oh, and, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. For me, definitely overturn pots and pans, garbage can lids, Tupperware containers, for sure.
And do you remember liking one object from the kitchen more than others?
I actually, one of the things that I used to use was my dad, when I was a kid, used to smoke a pipe. And so he had tobacco, empty tobacco containers. We used to use those because those made great drums with the plastic lids. They were actually really resonant. You could turn them over and you had the metal sound. And they were great. I remember totally tapping on those with forks and knives and stuff like that. Absolutely, yeah.
One of the things I noticed when I looked at some of your videos, it's house concerts are really popular these days. And mm-hmm. you guys perform in all kind of venues, including some like house concert-ish situations. And
yeah, we've done a couple of those since we've been here in Fairbanks, actually. It's super fun.
And I want to say you play everything but the kitchen sink, but I think you even play the kitchen sink.
We sure do. We actually have, back in Ontario, we work with this great organization called Prologue for our educational shows. And one of the shows we do for them is actually called Everything and the Kitchen Sink.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the first piece uses a kitchen sink that we got secondhand for, I don't know, $30 or something. And that show in particular is all, it's geared towards elementary students, and it's all about using found objects, things that you find around you in everyday life to make music on. So yeah, pretty much anything you can think of to hit, we've probably played it at some point or are about to very shortly.
When you're at somebody's house, do you start tapping on things and hitting things with mallets? Have you ever broken anything in the name of art?
We've absolutely broken something. We on this kitchen sink show, we do a piece called The Machine where people, Adam is sort of playing and Dan and Rich take objects out of a suitcase and place them various places on the table for him to hit, and it builds up into a pattern. And we used to play that piece with an empty wine bottle. Ooh. And one time we broke that on stage in a school show, and then we thought maybe we shouldn't use a glass bottle in the school show anymore. But we don't generally tend to tap on people or tap on things in other people's houses because it is considered a little bit impolite. But definitely hardware stores, Target, as we mentioned, places like that. I've totally spent hours in Home Depot looking for sounds, wandering around, tapping on flower pots and metal venting and PVC pipe, all that stuff.
Right.
For sure. People look at you a little funny, but you get used to it after a while.
Whatever. And then you're like, if I could just get this piece of pipe just a little bit shorter, and then they cut it for you, so now it's the right frequency.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. in fact, we've done a lot of that ourselves. Rich has made an instrument basically out of metal conduit pipe tuned to a D major scale, and he spent a lot of time and thought at one point he inhaled some metal shavings, which thankfully isn't the case.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but so we've done that stuff, and we've also spent hours looking for exactly the right flower pot in a hardware store because one time we were on tour and one of our pots broke and it was for a specific pitch that we needed, so we had to go get another one. And so yeah, take some time sometimes, but it's fun.
It can be the wrong time of year sometimes to find the right flower pot.
This is true. This is true. Trying to find a good selection of flower pots in December in Toronto is not an easy thing to do.
We know that living in Fairbanks. Yeah. Well, what's next? That last piece was really fun on the kids' instruments. I think I see that you've picked up some metal instruments this time.
Yeah, this is a piece that Dan wrote. One of the things that we do as well as asking people to write us pieces is write a lot of music ourselves. We've all written music for the group, all four of us, and we've all arranged music for the group. And it's great because in that sense, we're a little bit kind of like a rock band in that people will bring in tunes, mostly finished usually, but we get to workshop them a little bit. Play around. Sometimes we make suggestions. Sometimes they're just awesome the way they are, and we just go with it. And so this is a piece that Dan wrote. He was inspired while he was doing his laundry at a laundromat. And so he was listening to all the... Yeah, a lot of rhythm. I mean, there's all these washing machines going around. Some people may have forgotten to take some change out of their pockets. somebody threw their running shoes in a machine, you know, lots of different rhythms happening. And so he wrote this really cool piece called Spin Cycle. And we're going to play, there's three movements. We're going to play the first one of those for you today. And so the first movement is called Wash. And the other two movements are appropriately named Rinse and Dry. But we're going to play Wash for you today. And this is written for a set of four gonkogis. And a gonkogi is an African double bell. It's used a lot in traditional Ghanaian and Ewe music. And it's basically sort of a predecessor to the modern cowbell or the agogo bell, which most people are more familiar with in North America. And so each of these bells has a low sound and a high sound, and each of them are tuned a little bit differently so that when we play them all in combination, we get this sort of melody that happens of eight notes. And this is a really cool piece that Dan wrote based on some sort of traditional Ghanaian bell patterns, but tumbled and spun around in all sorts of different ways. Really, really beautiful piece.
Cool.
Fabric softener, that's right.
This is the wash cycle.
That's right.
Oh, torque percussion. I almost wanted to narrate really quietly during that time when the special effects were using the bells while playing off of your leg. And you don't need no darn pedal special effects for that. All you need is, you know, to like kind of mute, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of a technique that I learned from when we were at the University of Toronto. They have a whole bunch of different world drumming programs there, taiko drumming, African drumming. And so from our teacher there, Kwasi Donyo, that's just a little game he used to play, that sort of like neat thing to get everyone's attention, because it is so kind of, you see, yeah, you can hit a cowbell, but then to see a cowbell played in a different way, it's just another extended technique, and everyone gets a little like, oh, what is that? I need to be quiet now.
Right.
So, yeah.
And will you be playing something like that while you're on stage tomorrow night?
I think we're going to be playing that piece.
It's so cool.
Usually we open up the second half with that one, get everyone really loving more cowbell.
Oh, man. During our last fall fundraiser here at KUAC, we had... when anybody would become a sustaining gift member of KUAC, we had the cowbell ring. And so we'll have to use that technique on our next fundraiser with the cowbell. I can see it happening. Yeah. I've learned something.
Love it.
And you guys are on the Herring Auditorium stage tomorrow night as part of the Fairbanks Concert Association season. And that starts at 8 o'clock on the Herring Auditorium stage there at Lathrop. And I'll have some tickets to give away this afternoon and tomorrow. So do stay tuned for that. But I know you can find out more at fairbanksconcert.org, too. One thing I wanted to ask you about was, do you find rhythm and music and percussion in just the world around you all the time? Is that sometimes what inspires you to write new music?
Well, in laundromats as well, for
right?
sure. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this to the students earlier today as well, is that as percussionists, we've found it difficult to sort of define what it is that we do, especially when presenters want to bring us in. They're like, So tell me what your show is. And sometimes people get the impression that we're just four guys playing drum sets.
Yeah, you're drummers.
Yeah,
right.
Which certainly can be a part of it. We certainly love to groove really hard. We love to play soft and beautiful melodies as well. As I mentioned, like being at U of T, we have these different courses, world music. We all come from different backgrounds of drum corps, choir, playing piano, playing a whole bunch of other instruments that have sort of funneled us towards being percussion and then playing in percussion ensemble, playing all these world instruments. We've kind of created a palette of sounds and instruments that we're able to grab from. And we get those inspirations from daily life, and we kind of apply that to maybe a color that we're thinking of off that palette, and we start writing a piece for that.
Some people think in colors.
Absolutely.
And hear in colors. And
definitely.
Maybe some of you have that tendency too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when I was in the laundromat writing that piece, you know, there is a kind of like a sort of metallic kind of sound swishiness to it. So, you know, there's certainly that lends itself really well in that instance.
And so. The rest of that piece is played on those bells.
So that the first movement is on those bells. Uh-huh. The second movement, rinse appropriately, is actually for a bunch of shakers.
Okay.
So we're all playing shakers, a nice little like swishy sounds. Write that one down. That's another color palette right there. And the last movement, dry, is for four djembes. So there is kind of a dry, drummy sound to
right,
that movement
like
as well.
Like you said, maybe somebody's tennis shoes are in the dryer. And
absolutely,
hitting.
Yeah, that's so cool. Definitely it.
And is that one on your newest CD?
That one is off our first album, which unfortunately we have sold out of on this tour.
Not unfortunately. No.
Great for us.
However, it is available on iTunes, as is our second album, and also off of our website. We have CDs there. We also have T-shirts for purchase.
Oh, man.
T-shirts.
All kinds of merch, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you have one to go out on, a quick one? Because we're coming up on the 3 o'clock hour, and it has been wonderful to have you here, Torque Percussion Quartet, on Alaska Live.
Yeah, I think in the spirit of a lot of what we've been doing today and in the spirit of this most recent album, Without a Map, I think we're just going to, without talking about anything at all, even instrument selection, we're just going to do a little bit of improvisation to go out today.
All right.
That is one thing that we love to do, so here we go.
Oh, Torque Percussion Quartet, thank you so much for being on Alaska Live. I'm your Alaska Live host, my guest today, Torque Percussion Quartet. You guys are great.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.